Most of us think Excel is for filling in numbers on spreadsheets, but Excel is also an e-sport, yes, really. And a South African master's student, Pieter Pienaar from the University of Pretoria, has just become the world champion of the 2025 Microsoft Excel Collegiate Challenge. Well, we have Pieter in the studio with us to tell us more about that. Hi, Pieter.
How are you?
Welcome to VizNews.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, congratulations. And for people who've never heard of it, what exactly is the Microsoft Excel Collegiate Challenge?
It's very difficult to explain to people what it is, because like you said, Excel is usually just that tool that everyone does, watch my cash flow or make an invoice. And as a student, Excel is what we all use to just calculate how much marks do I need in that final exam to pass. But what the competition is, it started as the Financial Modeling World Cup. So it is make spreadsheets, make cash flows, who is the fastest in it. And then they evolved. They said, Excel is a fantastic problem-solving tool. I mean, some of my engineering friends said that all they do the entire day, they're in Excel. They solve problems in Excel. So then what they started doing is they started simulating games. They said, how well can you problem-solve using Excel? So what they love doing is they love games. So they would, for example, give you a battleship board. So here's a board battleship. Given the ships are at these starting positions and a list of guesses that people are going to do, who's going to win this game? So you can do it by hand, but it's a lot longer than just writing a formula. So then you want to write a formula to build the boards for each person and then alternate between them saying this guy's guess. And at each end of the round, you say, did one of them win? And you just drag this formula down and then Excel says, okay, oh, A1. And then in the next game, B1 and then A1 and then A1 again. And you paste those answers into the website and the website says, yes, you got everything right. So that's already fun. Simulate battleship, play darts, play chess. They had the case last year, which was incredibly difficult, about a guy that needs to go ice skating. I'll go more into detail about that later, but you need to basically simulate someone ice skating and hitting like the edge of the ice skating rink. That's fun already. But now you have 30 minutes to do it. So the pressure is up and you're doing it on stage in front of the world and it's being live streamed. And you know, the guy sitting this side and the girl sitting that side, they're the best. They're brilliant. And you need to solve it quicker than them and get more marks. So stress is involved, but just sitting at home, you know, on a Saturday doing a case, it's incredible. It's a lot of fun.
So did you participate online or were you actually there?
Yes. So the game starts online. So this year there were 14,000 students that took part over 130 countries. And throughout the entire year, there's what they call the monthly challenges, and that's online. And then in, I think it was September or October, there's the two qualification rounds. So everyone online takes part, and then the top 64 is invited to Vegas. I ranked, I think, 19th or 18th. I had a bit of an issue. That was a difficult case, so I didn't rank that high. But at least I was invited to the U.S. Went to the U.S., went through the semifinals, ended 10th. So I was in the semifinals. And then in the finals, luckily, it was a case that was very suited to what I'm good at. And then I ended in first place. So there are online rounds and then in-person rounds at the finals.
So it's so amazing that this is an e-sport. So is there commentary, live streams? Does it feel like? Are there people sitting, you know, in the hall as well?
Yes. So it's full. There's a lot of people. There was about, oh, I can't even guess how many people. At Active Cell, there was about 300 people, but I feel there were more. And you're in the HyperX arena at the Luxor in Vegas. So it is an esport arena where people play competitive, you know, online games. So that the stage is filled with gaming PCs. And in front of each computer, there's a big screen showing what you're doing. And then behind you, there's a massive screen. And then there's a box up top. So then people sit in front of you and there's like a balcony where people sit as well. And they're constantly chanting and going, yay. And when something happens on screen, they go, oh, and you hear them. But then the commentators are up there, and well, it's American commentators, so they know how to hype everything up. And the joke my supervisor this year made is he watched the live stream of last year, and you just hear they go, oh, what is he doing? Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, we have to look. Oh, what is that? And it sounds so exciting. And you look at the screen, and it's a guy typing a formula. And he said the juxtaposition between them being so excited and it's a spreadsheet is a bit weird. But if you're sitting there in the arena and you've played some of these cases and you know the formulas and you know the people, it is actually exciting because there's bonus questions that only six people can get. So your strategy is you need to get those bonuses before everyone else. But every 5 minutes, whoever ranks the lowest, they cut out. So there's the strategy and you watch your favorite player and this guy that you know is good, he's struggling. He made a reading mistake or his formula isn't working and you're seeing the time tick and you think, what's happening? And suddenly that other guy, he figures something out and he pastes in answers and he jumps from like 10th position to first place and they jump over, what did he do? They go back, oh, he did this. So it is actually exciting. It's an esport in the same sense as like watching competitive chess matches because it's a battle of wits and it's a live problem-solving competition. But there's no set, you know, it's not like chess where it's always the same board and it's in the minute details and the strategy planning ahead. It's, they can give you anything. They can give you a map. They can give you this case. They can say, oh, today we are looking at a forest and the forest might be dense and you need to calculate how long you will walk. But we're going to give you multiple maps. So there's a river you might need to walk around, or there's a mountain here. And if you go up the mountain, you're gonna be a bit slower. And they give you these cases and you sitting there on stage, you have 30 minutes and you need to just solve this problem. And you don't have time to sit there for a long time and go, you know, the smartest way to do this or the most efficient way is X. You need to jump in and start solving cases because in 5 minutes, they're eliminating someone. So you think, okay, so in your mind, you're racing. You say, I can do it this way. I can do it this way. I think this is the best. Let's go. But everyone tries to solve the case slightly differently. And it is very interesting if the commentators switch between them and saying, oh, this guy's going a data table route, but I don't think that's going to work for level four. And it's really fun sitting there, really stressful on stage because there's a lot of noise and a lot of things going on. And then while you're just trying to figure this thing out, you hear the commentators go, all right, let's look at what Peter's doing. And you go, everyone's looking at me. And then your screen is up at the back. And you just know everyone's looking at me thinking I'm an idiot because I'm struggling with the most simple thing because of the pressure. And now the world's looking at me. The stress gets to you on stage.
So what was it like when you realized I'm not an idiot and I've actually won this?
Actually, this year, I was so grateful just to be in the finals again. Like I said, everyone that's there is at the same level, basically. And there's a lot of small things that can happen that suddenly you're out or suddenly you're in the lead and a lot of small things. And they handed us out the case notes 10 minutes before it starts. So it's just like an overview of the case. And I read it and it's about Sudoku. And I read the case and they're going to give you multiple Sudokus on multiple sheets, but none of them are in the same place. And I'm thinking, whew, okay, I would have thought I could use index and offset, which is two formulas, but if it's not the same, I don't know how, I don't know. And I hit a blank. And I said, well, I'm already in the finals. If I go on stage and don't get a single mark, I'm still in 12th place. That's not bad. And I folded up the paper and I became very calm. But I think I became calm because I don't want to say I sort of gave up, but I said, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I'm glad I'm here. Let's just see what happens. So I didn't stress a lot. And I got on stage and I put on headphones, noise-canceling headphones. And I said, I know I'm not going to do well, but let me just try. And I just played the game. And I sort of I forgot I was in a competition. Until like 3 minutes left, I expected them to tap me on my shoulder anytime to say, by the way, you're eliminated. You're at the bottom. You know, go off stage. 3 minutes left, I was waiting for this bonus. And I did this bonus and I pasted it in. No one did those bonuses, so it didn't lock out. And I pasted it in and I waited. It has a 10-second delay. So you paste and then you can wait for 10 seconds. It loads and then it says you got the marks or it's wrong. And I just sat there and it loaded and it made a cross. And I thought, ugh, damn. But the moment it went across, I heard the entire audience through the noise-canceling headphones go, oh. And I looked up. And I looked behind me on the screen and I saw they're currently looking at me. And the moment I looked back on the screen, I saw the leaderboard and I saw I was first. And for the first time, I thought, I'm in this game. I'm in. And then those last 3 minutes was really stressful. And I solved another thing. I got up to 1,000 marks and then the game ended. And everyone came in and shook my hand and congratulated me. And I just kept looking at the leaderboard and reading my name and thinking, is that how you spell my name? Is that me? I don't believe it. But I think it is, you know, that stress when in a test, you're not sure if 2 + 5 = 7. So you take your calculator and you just verify, oh, it is 7. That's what happens on stage. You might be fantastic at home, but the stress gets you. And I think me walking on stage and just somehow being calm and not stressed, that was the difference. If we play the game again, I'm sure Benjamin Weber from Austria was brilliant, and David from Austria as well, is Jacob from the US, they're all brilliant. And if the case was slightly different, if they were slightly more calmer, they would have brought home the trophy because they're also brilliant. But I'm very grateful this year that it was me. And then I could have ensured that the South African flag is at the top where it belongs, in my opinion. But no, it's all about just being calm and taking the big problem and taking, say, solving the smallest step, one step at a time. Going, how do I break it up into something very simple? Use a simple formula, just solve the small step and then the next one, then the next one. And then you put the whole thing together again. If you don't have stress and you just do that, eventually you will solve the case.
Well, tell us a bit more about yourself, because I said at the beginning, you are doing a master's degree at the University of, at Tux, at the University of Pretoria. And where did this interest in Excel spreadsheets come from?
So I come from a family of engineers. So problem solving and making things is fun. So we have 3D printers and lathes. But I weirdly, I don't know why, but I studied accounting. I studied chartered accounting. Because I really enjoyed it on school, and my argument was, I can do engineering. It's going to be a very controversial opinion. I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I need a degree in order to start my own business. If I want to build an app, and I love programming as well. So I wrote my first app in grade 5. So I love programming and I love just solving a problem. And my argument when I was in matric was, I can start a company and write apps, or I can start a company and 3D print or machine things, but you need a degree in order to become like a chartered accountant. I wanted more the business side, the legal side. I wanted more of that knowledge because I didn't have that. So I started, let's study chartered accounting. And halfway through, I really started falling in love with chartered accounting. But a previous CA, so a CA from Tux, Renier Wessels, he learned of the competition and he came to UP and he said, listen, there's this competition. I want the students to take part. I'll sort of coach whichever students are interested. And that was when I was a second year student. And then I saw the email and I said, yeah, I'll sign up. There's nothing to lose. And Renier sort of, he coached, I think there was like 10 or 12 of us. He showed us the competition and I took the case. It was Battleship. And I took that case and I did that Battleship case like 40 times. Like, how can I solve this in a different way? And I really started enjoying, because it's that same love of figuring something out and also a lot of the programming aspect of there's more efficient, less efficient, what's a smart way to solve this problem. And I just, it fell straight into my niche of problem solving. It's sort of like programming. It's interesting. It's fun. It's a challenge. And I just continued trying to solve it. And I think that trying to solve the same case over and over again taught me so much that by the end of that year, when I took part, I qualified. I went to the US for the first time. It was amazing. And it ended in 12th place, which I was very happy with. So that's basically how it started. And then I continued. I've got my BCom degree 2 years ago. I got my postgraduate diploma last year. And then this year, I was supposed to start my article. Well, I did start my articles, 3 articles to become a chartered accountant. And I'm signed with PwC. But I applied to become an academic trainee. So that's when, instead of your first year, you're doing auditing articles at the firms, you go back to the university in a lecturing capacity. So I lectured this year for business acumen in second year and third year modules, where I did a lot of Excel with students. I started an Excel club at UP to get more students involved. I want more South Africans at the finals. And it also, seeing how students solve problems. You know, that one student that says, no, I'm not good at Excel. And I said, okay, but how would you approach this problem? And they said, oh, I would do X, Y, Z. And I would think, I would never have thought of that. But that is the most elegant solution ever. Wow. And I think I learned more from students claiming they know nothing than they learned from me. And that helped a lot in the finals. So when people don't want to join, they say, I don't know Excel. I'm not that smart. I say, no, you are. it's a problem-solving competition, and we can all solve problems. Excel is just the program we do it in.
So after this, you're going to become a CA, start your own company one day?
Hopefully. I don't know where in 2 years' time where that's going to lead me, but I'm hoping just to position myself in a way that when an opportunity strikes, I'll be the most qualified person to take that opportunity. But yes, so next year, 5 Jan, I start at PwC, which I'm looking very forward to. I have 2 years of auditing articles at PwC. It's going to be fun. Luckily, those Excel skills are going to come in handy. But it's going to be very fun. I also, this year, I did a lot of AI development. So I wrote a lot of apps for UP. And because of all the AI stuff I did and the wonderful team I was part of, so I was under Prof. Marlene Stichling and Andrew van der Berg. We had fantastic ideas. The problem solving I did and the AI I built led to me winning the SciCar Trainee Trailblazer Disruptive Innovator of the Year. So that's another thing. I'm like, I can't believe I won it, but it feels like a team achievement because it wouldn't have happened if I weren't working under Andrew and Madeleine, people who had fantastic ideas. And so I just try to walk in and solve problems because my argument is, if you do that, how can you fail?
Sounds amazing. It just sounds all amazing, and the kind of people who will innovate. And I think, you know, when you said about AI, I mean, that's, you know, how do you marry Excel and AI? Is that possible?
It is. So Microsoft is working very hard. So Microsoft Copilot is now working very hard, and it is actually it's controversial, but I am very in favor actually of putting AI in Excel. Because my argument especially with my students, is I told them, we're going to solve this complex thing. What I want you to do is write in English what you want happening. So break the problem up and then give me the step, but write it in English. But write it as clear as possible. So we would also do a case where I would stand in front of them with a piece of paper and I would say, instruct me how to fold a paper airplane. But I would try to purposefully misunderstand them. So they would go, fold the paper in half. And then I would fold it like, not like this in half. I would like fold a weird crease in. I said, but you said in half. You weren't specific. When you try to explain to someone what to do, always be specific. And then I tell them, break the problem down in English, be as specific as possible. If you do that, I can think of the formula. And you go, okay, I want a list that gives me all the names that appear more than once. Okay. That I can do. And I would write a formula and it will display that. But you did the problem solving. Yes, you don't know the formulas, but the difficult part you already did. Now with AI in Excel, that's exactly where the world's going. You don't necessarily need to know the formula. But if you can go, I need to solve this problem, let's break the problem up to smaller steps. Okay, Copilot, and you can type it in Excel. You go, write a formula that gives me XYZ here. And it writes a formula. There will still be use for someone to then look at the formula and double check it. But I think it enables the layman that doesn't have time to learn all the Excel formulas and all the edge cases to be able to solve more problems. And ultimately, that's what we need. So I'm very pro this. It might be dangerous. There might be hallucinations that break spreadsheets. I mean, I don't know if I'd like if the National Treasury did that with our, you know, our taxes, and there's an accidental mistake that an AI made. But as long as big companies are careful and it gets audited and it gets verified, I think it democratizes problem solving, which is absolutely fantastic.
Well, Peter Pienaar, congratulations with that. And I'm sure you'd return to competitions like this. Thank you so much for speaking to us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.